Good morning. Welcome to Radioactivity. I'm Rob Lori. Well, coming up, we're going to hear Florida this week from this past Friday night, and we'll later on open up the phone lines and take your phone calls. First, several listener comments about last Thursday's program. Last Thursday, we were hearing from listeners about the presidential campaign, and here's what about four or five listeners had to say following the show on Thursday.
This is Dan from Tampa. Here's a stat for everybody. Since 1969, Democrats have appointed exactly four judges to the Supreme Court. In that same time frame, the Republicans have appointed 15. Now let's talk about stacking the court.
Good afternoon, Rob, and I just want to say this is Bert, and I want to say that for humanity and the goodness of our planet and our democracy, that we need to be concerned about what our government is doing now. We don't need to regulate a mother's birth. We need to regulate Mother Earth.
My name is Mike Quill. I'm from the city of Dunedin. Regardless of voting or who you're voting for, to me, there's nothing more powerful than the voice and the vote of the people, and that must be protected and respected. The incident that happened in St. Pete the other day regarding armed security guards is being investigated by the Pinellas County Sheriff's Office and the Supervisor of Elections. I wanted your listeners to know that the Pinellas County Sheriff's Office and the Supervisor of Elections are doing everything they can to ensure safety and smooth operations of each of the polling sites, be it early and up until the end of the election, November 3rd. So people should feel confident in that, and I want them to know that. I also wanted your listeners to know that no one can solicit within 150 feet of the entrance of any polling site, and if anyone feels less than safe, they should contact the poll workers, a deputy if he's on duty, or call their local police department or sheriff's office.
Hi, Rob. Vinny Scully. I was listening to your broadcast and always impressed with your ability to moderate the show, just in spite of anyone who calls in. A little busy, so I had to leave a message. My message is this. I believe that it is something that is said quite often in news shows and media reports that this country is divided 50-50. But poll after poll shows that our country is not divided 50-50, that we have 60-80% of Americans that favor a woman's right to choose, that favor Medicare for all, that favor a more liberal approach to the social safety net. These are things that are ignored completely by the political parties, and including the Democrats, I might add. So I just appreciate it if you consider that, because you did say it on the show that our country is divided 50-50. And I think the polls clearly show that that is not the case, that we are much more progressive than our polling or our politicians would have us believe.
Well, there you have a few listener comments that came in after Thursday's program. You're listening to WMNF in Tampa. I took some time off on Friday, so I wasn't around, and I recorded only half of the Florida This Week program. My good friend Ernest Hooper recorded the other half of the program. So we're going to hear Florida This Week from this past Friday night as we listen back to the program. Please comment about the topics we're discussing. You can always comment by sending your comment on email to dj@wmnf.org. Later on in this hour, we'll open up the phone lines and take your phone calls. So here is Florida This Week from this past Friday night on WEDU-TV. Coming up next, did Thursday's presidential debate change many minds in Florida? Florida Democrats have a massive advantage in mail-in voting. Can the Republicans catch up on Election Day? Seniors gave their support to President Trump in the last election. How do they feel now? And the company that ran the state's troubled unemployment system will get a giant new state contract. We'll talk about these issues and more with one of the state's veteran politics reporters, Mark Caputo of Politico, and Amy Hollifield, the senior deputy editor of news for the Tampa Bay Times, Democrat Barry Edwards, who has decades of political experience, and former state legislator Mike Fasano of Pasco County, one of the most independent Republicans in Florida. Coming up next on Florida This Week.
Welcome back. I'm Ernest Hooper, joining Rob Lori this week. Rob will be on a little later in the show. Thursday's presidential debate was the last one for Joe Biden and Donald Trump. As Rob Lori reports, it was the final chance to try to convince the 4 to 5% of Florida voters who are still undecided.
They need standards. The standard is if you have a reproduction rate in a community that's above a certain level, everybody says slow up, more social distancing, do not open bars and do not open gymnasiums, do not open until you get this under control.
Look, all he does is talk about shutdowns, but forget about him. His Democrat governors, Cuomo in New York, you look at what's going on in California, you look at Pennsylvania, North Carolina, Democrats all, they're shut down so tight and they're dying. And what about fracking?
All right, let me allow Vice President Biden to respond.
I never said I oppose fracking.
You said it on tape.
I did. Show the tape. Put it on your website.
I'll put it on.
Put it on the website. The fact of the matter is he's flat lying.
Would you rule out banning fracking?
I do rule out banning fracking.
Already, one-third of eligible voters here in Florida have cast their ballots, either by mail or in person, shattering previous records. Democrats hold an edge of more than 400,000 votes, but as a percentage, the traditionally Republican counties of Charlotte, Lee, and Collier have a very high percentage of turnout, much higher than the Democratic strongholds of Broward, Palm Beach, and Miami-Dade.
Mark Caputo is a senior reporter for Politico Florida. He currently covers the Joe Biden campaign, as well as Florida and national politics. He's a veteran of the Miami Herald, grew up in Key West, and knows much of Florida's political intrigue. Mark, welcome to Florida This Week.
Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
Mark, I wanted to ask, how is Michael Bloomberg's decision to pour $100 million into Joe Biden's Florida campaign impacted Donald Trump's campaign?
Well, $100 million actually is real money. Even in a state like Florida, we're seeing a record amount of spending on TV, $262 million on TV ads alone that are scheduled to have run or run by and through Election Day. That $100 million from Bloomberg, some of it's in ads and some of it's in kind of ground game, getting different groups on the ground to get voters to the polls. And what it's done is it's forced Donald Trump to concentrate more of his money in Florida, which is a must-win state for him. So the president needs to play more defense at home on his home turf. It's also had a ripple effect because it's freed up some of these Democratic groups who would otherwise have to spend a lot of time and a lot of money in Florida to go to other states. And Trump has had to defend some of those other states, red-leaning states like Arizona and Georgia as well. So, for instance, Trump has plowed $6 million extra dollars into Florida on TV since September 1st. You know, that's real money that a campaign like Trump's, especially when it recently began experiencing a certain amount of financial troubles, really kind of needs. So that can be a real problem for the president. Also, he doesn't want to lose Florida. He can't lose Florida. We have 29 electoral college votes out of the 270 needed to win. So a lot of the election is coming down right here to the Sunshine State.
Has it taken away from his efforts in other states like Wisconsin, Minnesota?
Right. What we've seen from the president is a retrenchment of his advertising spending from sort of the Frost Belt, or some call them the Rust Belt states, Great Lakes states. Wisconsin, Michigan, and Pennsylvania are kind of the three key ones up there. The president has actually pulled down some of his advertising there, including advertising also in Ohio, which used to be more of a swing state, might be a swing state again. And he's had to replow that money in Florida heavily, as well as Georgia and Arizona. So as I said, you've seen sort of that ripple effect of that $100 million spend from Michael Bloomberg. That's also been in tandem with the president's struggles raising some money.
What are the target numbers for Donald Trump and Joe Biden when we're talking about whites, blacks, and Hispanics?
It's important to remember in Florida that we have those three different groups, but a supermajority of voters and registered voters in Florida are non-Hispanic white. Anglo, you could call them here in Miami, or actually right now I'm in Key West. There's a magic number, 40. If Joe Biden hits 40% of the white vote, he probably will win Florida. And if he wins Florida, he'll probably win the election. Now, whites are about 62% of the registered voters. They're expected to cast about 65% of the ballots in Florida. When it comes to African-Americans, black voters, they're about 13% of the electorate. They can cast anywhere to 14, 15% of the vote. Joe Biden is currently getting about 85, 86, in some polls, 90% of the black vote, so to speak. About 10%, depending on the poll, is the share that President Trump is currently hitting. So Trump wants to get a little more there. Biden, depending on the poll, is probably right where he needs to be. Hispanic voters are a little different. They're about 17% of the electorate overall in Florida. The Democrat usually wants to hit about 64% of them, a little more than 63%. Joe Biden isn't. He's getting a little less, and Donald Trump is getting a little more. He's getting in the 40% range in a lot of these polls. Now, remember what I said earlier about white voters. If they're going to be 65% of the electorate, every percent that Joe Biden gets of them, a more traditional Republican voting bloc, is really going to go a long way to offset his losses among Hispanic voters. And you're seeing some of that game play out. There's an added layer of demographics, older voters. Biden seems to be doing well among them. That's a little more hinky when it comes to polling, so I'm not going to get too much into numbers. There's also a possibility that Donald Trump is doing better among middle-aged voters, 29 to 55. All of these different demographic parts interlock like a puzzle. We're not going to really know the final shape of that puzzle until November 3rd. And heck, we could be so close that we could go to a recount, and maybe it'll be after November 3rd that we actually know the winner.
Well, listen, Mark Caputo, thank you so much for joining us here on Florida This Week.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
Joining us now is Amy Holyfield, the senior deputy editor of news for the Tampa Bay Times. She's also an associate editor for PolitiFact and was part of a team awarded the Pulitzer Prize in 2009. She oversees national politics and helps separate fact from fiction. Amy, welcome back to Florida This Week.
Nice to see you, Ernest.
So good to see you. So in 2016, Donald Trump defeated Hillary Clinton in the Tampa Bay and Orlando markets. Do you see that changing this year?
I think it's possible, just because there's so many more voters this year. They've set records in Pinellas and Hillsborough in terms of early voters, in terms of mail-in ballots. Just what you saw this week as the start of early voting in Florida, there's so much more. I will say, though, we've seen the new numbers today, and Republicans are taking the lead in the overall vote, which Democrats have had sort of consistently since voting opened. So I think at the very least it'll be tighter. But, you know, when you think about Hillsborough County getting so much bluer and so many more people are voting, I think there's a good chance that things will look different this year.
Okay. How much debate fact-checking did you have to do based on what we watched on Thursday night between President Trump and Vice President Biden?
Did you watch the debate, Ernest? Did you know that almost everything that came out of either one of their mouths was something that could be fact-checked?
Wow.
It was a litany of claims. And I honestly, some things were truthful, but some of them weren't. I mean, if you anything that stood out to you from that debate is fact-checked in one big wrap-up story that you can find on politifact.com. And just, you know, you think about just the back and forth over, you know, Joe's basement, or the back and forth over, you know, that Trump never had a plan for COVID, and the back and forth over Biden using the term super predators in that 1994 crime bill. Every one of those things is something that we looked at, and you'll figure out not all of it is how it sounded.
Yeah, that's always seems to be the case in debates, with most people having decided who they're going to vote for already. How much of a factor do you think the debate plays?
I think the first debate played a factor. I think now we're sort of a lot more into the voting. I think if this debate had been the first debate, it would have it could have had a very positive effect. But it this at this point, I don't think it's going to move the dial for anybody. We're so close to the election. Millions and millions of people have voted already. I just don't see it making too much of a difference. But it was good to hear them. It was good to hear them talk about the issues, to have a conversation. I certainly appreciated that.
Yeah, and good to have a little more civility as part of the debate. So, pivoting our new 21st century word pivoting. I wanted to ask you about Governor DeSantis, and he came out this week and said, you know, no matter what, schools must stay open. What are your thoughts on that as the mom of a public school student?
Yeah, I mean, that's a hard one. You know, both my kids are in in-person school. One's in college, one's in high school in Hillsborough County. And, you know, knock on wood, there's not been issues. There's certainly been people, but each one of them is healthy and has been healthy. And, you know, they're learning and they're getting interaction with their teachers, and they're both athletes. They're playing sports even. So I guess I'm sympathetic to that, because on the one hand, when my younger daughter, who's in high school, said she wanted to go back, I kind of thought, she'll go back, it'll go away, and she'll be back home. And I'm sort of amazed that here we are at the end of October, and this still is still going, and it's still treading. And I mean, I'm back in the camp of this is possible with the right safety measures and the right framework and the right policies of quarantine cases that come up. I know, though, for parents of kids who are in a virtual school, that it's pretty horrible, and that hasn't gotten any better. And you know, I think my daughter feels it less because she's in the classroom and she can see her teacher and she can talk to her teacher.
Yeah.
So I'm very sympathetic to that. So I'm not coming at from that point of view. It's hard to think about what the governor's saying, because it's definitely changing education in the state of Florida.
Amy, we'll keep an eye on how that goes as we move closer and fully into flu season. Hopefully we won't have a twindemic. Want to thank you for joining us on Florida This Week, and good to talk to you again.
You too, Ernest. Thanks.
Well, Florida has long been known for razor-thin margins of victory for candidates, and that's likely to be true this time for the November 3rd election. Barry Edwards is a political commentator and consultant and a Democrat. He's been following politics in Florida for more than 20 years. Barry, welcome back to the program.
Thank you. And it's been probably more than 40 years.
You don't look that old.
Thank you.
Barry, the Republicans here in Florida famously have claimed that they've knocked on a million doors to try to get turnout this election. I don't think Joe Biden has nearly that kind of grassroots activism on his side, but he does have a lot of TV money. Is it possible to win statewide relying more on TV money and less on a ground game?
Absolutely. And in fact, in politics, we can measure everything empirically. And there was a study done after the 2012 presidential election where they measured Barack Obama's performance in Philadelphia and in West Virginia. In Philadelphia, they took this mammoth TV buyout, which went into the surrounding areas in West Virginia. In Philadelphia, they had several hundred paid canvassers. In West Virginia, none. The turnout was only a half a point difference. So the primary drivers of turnout in a presidential election, why it's greater than an off-cycle election with governor, is because the TV, when your channel's on in the newspaper, the radio, all we do is talk about the presidential election. So the earned media and the free media, but also paid media, Barack Obama spent about $137 million in Florida on TV. The spending so far this cycle between Trump and Biden is over $300 million. So that's what drives turnout, because you can't do anything without seeing a Biden or a Trump commercial. And so then you say, well, do ground games still matter? They matter because in Florida, the data shows that a ground game, when they're done well, can move a vote between a half a point and a point and a half at the far end. But, you know, usually a half a percentage to a point and a half.
All right, so we've got these close elections. Most recent elections statewide have been a point or even less the difference between the Republican and the Democrat running statewide.
Right. So in 2012, when Barack Obama beat Mitt Romney, TV spending relatively parity. Obama had a little bit more. But the ground game of the 800, I think it was 800 paid full-time workers for Obama the last several months, was 0.9%. 0.9% are 74,000 votes. So the ground game there, even though it probably only mattered, it probably moved a point. That point is what won the election for Barack Obama. The TV got him in the game, and he wouldn't have been competitive without it. Donald Trump won by 1.2% or 114,000 votes 4 years ago. Again, there was a lot more Republicans out there knocking the Democrats for Hillary Clinton, I think. And this time, Biden, because of COVID, Democrats, as we know, for right or ill or good or ill, have been more reticent about going out with COVID. So their ground game has really been more telephone calls and things like that. The Republicans have been more robust. They've discounted the dangers of COVID a little bit more. So the Trump people are out knocking and canvassing and sign waving. So if there's a point to be gained, I would give it to Trump just for the ground game but it's really going to come down to TV. If Biden outspends Trump money from Michael Bloomberg, et cetera, you know, if he spends $300-400 million on TV and Trump spends 150, then Trump's ground game is not going to come into play because Biden's going to be far enough ahead.
All right. So let me ask you another question on an entirely different topic. Deloitte, which controlled the state's unemployment system, which widely was seen as a defective, terrible system that left many people way behind in their unemployment benefits. Deloitte now has been given a new contract to manage the state's Medicaid system. This is all under the aegis of Governor DeSantis. How did Deloitte, which already, I think it's fair to say, screwed up the unemployment system, how did they get this new contract?
Well, that's a great question. Number one is these contracts take a long time. Governor Chris put it out for bid in his last year, and then Governor Scott chose them. And then he left office, and he had a very narrow bandwidth that he wanted the unemployment system to be because he didn't want people on unemployment. But they didn't have the ability to expand it when we had a catastrophe like COVID. And the whole Connect system kept on crashing, and it didn't interface with other systems. It wasn't modernized, and it was really a piece of poop. I mean, it was just a horrible system, and some people have sued Connect and the state. Those haven't been successful yet. But it showed that Deloitte really didn't follow through and do a good job on the Connect system. So now we fast forward. And this is on the heels. Remember, 2 years before this, we had the massive problem with SunPass. So we give these massive contracts out. And now we fast forward 2 years later, we have a contract for $135 million for the Medicaid warehousing of data, which is important, and we give it to Deloitte. And it was more shocking is there were other companies that had better track records of this. You have to fill out an application. On the application, they did not put that they had been sued and fined, in a couple states up north for doing the same system. That should have disqualified them in most people's judgments. But they only took 1 point off for the catastrophe of Connect. You know, on this huge system. So like you have a 100-point test, you lose 1 point for screwing up $100 million, you know, costing us $100+ million on the unemployment system. We thought the governor would stop it. His secretary of ACA has left to go work for a hospital association. He's got a new interim. It looks like it's going through. I challenge the governor. This is going to be the campaign issue for the Democrats, whoever the nominee is, because they're going to say there's no transparency in these contracts. If people lie on the applications, it doesn't matter, and he's going to own it. If Deloitte has the same...
Sorry to say we're out of time, but thank you for coming on Florida This Week.
You're welcome. Thank you, Rob.
Pasco County Republican Mike Fasano has been a member of the Florida House of Representatives and the Florida Senate in the past few decades. He's currently the Pasco County Tax Collector. He's also a frequent voice here on Florida This Week. And Mike Fasano, welcome back. Great to see you.
Thank you very much. Appreciate you having me here today.
Mike, the president in the last few weeks has been making statements about arresting Joe Biden and arresting Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama. He's also made statements about COVID. Even after he got it, he doesn't think it's that serious. He wants his own attorney general to make those arrests against Joe Biden. The president seems to be acting more erratically. Are elected Republican officials free to speak out if they see something that the president says that they disagree with?
Well, unfortunately, they're not. We've seen a couple, and I say a couple, that have spoken out, you know, making it clear what he's saying, what he's suggesting is just outrageous. And it is outrageous. Even Attorney General Barr is not listening to him or taking his suggestions of arresting anyone or even investigating anyone. To me, what happens here in the end, it becomes desperation time. We've not only seen it in this campaign, I've seen it in many campaigns over my 10 years as being in politics. It becomes desperate when you are behind in the polls, and it's not just behind in the polls recently. When you see the trend over the last couple of months, several months, in fact, where you're still behind, when the incumbent cannot get close to 50% in the poll, you've got problems. And what we're seeing from the president is desperation. And unfortunately, there are not more Republicans, especially high up. Our own two U.S. senators, both Republicans here in Florida, should be speaking up and making it clear that there's better things to talk about, more issues to talk about that concern the American people and concern the people of Florida. Heck, right now we've got a pandemic out there. Thousands of people are dying each day in the United States. That having someone arrested is not what the concerns are with the American people.
Mike, the president did really well in 2016 among senior yes. voters. Pasco County has a lot of senior voters. Yes. I know you're in touch with your community. What issues do you think seniors in Pasco County really care about?
Right now, it's COVID. There's no ifs, ands, or buts. Just like it's everywhere else with our seniors. And that's why we're seeing in poll after poll where President Trump in 2016 did extremely well among senior citizens. And as you can tell from the polls today and from the people I talk to who are seniors, they're a little more reluctant to support President Trump because of his not taking the COVID situation seriously. You know, you would think that after he got COVID, after he thankfully recovered and is well now, he didn't come out. He should have come out and said, you know, I've contracted it. I realize now there's an issue, there's a problem. Let's look at it differently. No, he still went down that same road, and I don't understand why. You know, let's give credit today to Chris Christie. He wrote that opinion piece in the Wall Street Journal saying that he's learned from this, that he should have wore a mask at the day of the event that he went to the White House. It takes leadership, and we're not seeing that from Washington, and we're not seeing that out of the White House right now. And I think with our seniors, they're extremely disappointed by that, and rightly so. They're concerned about it. And then when you hear from elected officials, some of them, most of them Republicans, talking about how, well, we'll just put our seniors in nursing homes and hide them from everyone, pretty much. That's just outrageous. Some of these people are from the greatest generation. We should be doing everything we can to protect them and also making certain that they can see their loved ones in a safe way. It's really sad what we're seeing today, but thankfully we're seeing our seniors realizing this is not the direction they want to go this year.
Mike Fasano, thanks for coming back on Florida This Week. It's so nice to see you.
Thank you. Have a great day. God bless you.
Finally, the Tampa Bay Rays are the latest local sports team to play for a championship this year. They're in the World Series, taking on the Los Angeles Dodgers. St. Petersburg musician Dave Schreiber and his family kicked off the season with his tribute to the team. Stay safe. Go Rays.
Take me out to the ball game. Take me out to the crowd. I don't care if I ever get back. It's root, root, root for the home. you're out of the old ball game.
And how about the finished the Rays game on Saturday night? One of the great endings of any football game. Last night, not so much. We're going to open up the phone lines and take your phone calls. Our phone number is 813-239-9663. And our email address is dj@wmnf.org. And the people you heard on that program, Mark Caputo, writes about politics for Politico. He's one of the most knowledgeable people about Florida politics writing right now. Amy Hollyfield is the deputy managing editor over at the Tampa Bay Times. Mike Fasano is a longtime state legislator. He's a Republican. He's now the tax collector in Pasco County. And Barry Edwards is a political consultant. He's worked for both parties, but most recently he spent most of his time working for the Democratic Party. And if you want to comment about anything you've heard here, we spoke mostly about the upcoming presidential election. Ernest Hooper filled in for me as I took a little bit of time off last Friday. So let's see where people want to take the conversation. Our phone number, 813-239-9663. Email address, dj@wmnf.org. David writes this: Trump's ground game is derailing the GOP and running into the ground. This is David's opinion. It amazes me that so many Republicans fall in line behind the con man. Also, I think the Deloitte company was asked by Rick Scott to build a frustration algorithm into the state's unemployment system. I don't blame Deloitte, but I do blame Scott. Writes David. Yeah, that issue could be coming up when Scott runs for re-election, although his re-election is far away. 813-239-9663. And let's see where people want to take the conversation. Frank Knox is our phone producer today. Let's go to Andy in Dunedin for the first call. Andy, thanks for calling in. What would you like to comment about?
Hey, Rob, how you doing? First of all, I just want to say I love Mike Fasano. He's a great Republican. He doesn't come off as that partisan, you know, far right, toe the line type Republican. But I really like him a lot. A few weeks ago, we were talking about that statement that Trump made about wanting to arrest his foes. And you seem to think that I wasn't very shocked by it. And I got to thinking about it later on in the day, and you know, I would have to say that it's definitely top five, but I would say it's probably top one or two statements that he has made, because it sounded so much like a dictator. And there was a statement, a saying that I heard years and years ago, and I really like it, and I thought it was apropos. And the saying goes, when done to excess, shock takes a holiday. So I wasn't shocked by it, but it's, you know, like I said, it's one after the other. But yes, it was.
Yeah, I think we've lost our ability to be shocked because the president has stretched the limits of the presidency in a way that no other president has done. So, and can you imagine, Andy? Let's say that who is a politician you really like and revere, if there is one. Maybe there's not one.
There's a few. I mean, Bernie.
Okay, so let's say that Bernie, in all seriousness, said that we want to arrest, let's pick a politician, that we want to arrest somebody that's run for the presidency recently, Mitt Romney. Let's say that Bernie says, we want to arrest Mitt Romney because we suspect him of being a criminal. Would Bernie ever do that?
I should hope not, but anybody that would do that, I would like to see those on both sides of the aisle get some backbone and totally push back on it and do their best to send him packing, really.
Yeah, I mean, I think the president's statement calling for the arrest of Joe Biden and Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama, I think that it has been swept under the rug. I don't think the Democrats are using that. Now, if you were to ask me, is there a case to be made that former President Bush, who lied us into war in Iraq, ought to at least be investigated? How did that happen after the cost in lives on our side, the other side, and the trillions of dollars of military money wasted? You could make that argument. In fact,
you know, you wonder why President Trump doesn't make that argument, because he now is an opponent of that war. When it first started, he was a proponent. He was a supporter. But you could say, well, you know, maybe of all the presidents recently who've committed the nation to calamity, it was George W. Bush. So, but he isn't making that argument.
I also think that George Bush was a puppet for Dick Cheney and his cronies and Rumsfeld and them.
So, well, then add them into it. But Andy, add them into it. But you know, Trump is not doing that. I mean, there is no case to arrest Joe Biden. There's no case to arrest Hillary Clinton. There's no case to arrest Barack Obama. Yet the Democrats aren't screaming about it. I mean, you know, you wonder how.
There's just so much stuff out there for them to grab at. It's almost like you got to stay focused at this point. I mean, for Trump to think that way would take, you know, deep thought, which he's really not capable of. But, yeah, the Democrats have a lot to, you know, a lot of stuff to pick and choose from. But at this point, it's like just stay focused right now and do what we have to do.
All right. Andy, thanks a lot.
Thanks,
thank you. 813- The number to call, 813-239-9663. Let's go to Chuck, who's in Tampa. Chuck, thank you for calling. What would you like to say?
Hey, Rob. How's it going, man?
Good. What's up?
I had a great weekend. I enjoyed it. Every time I turn the TV on, there's Donald Trump at another state. Thousands and thousands of people coming out to see this guy. I mean, the momentum looks. And then you got deadbeat Joe Biden. He puts another lid on. I just don't know what this guy, his strategy is to basically try to buy ads, which annoy people on TV, sit on his dead ass and not do nothing. And Donald Trump's out there fighting now. Rasmussen had him down 4 nationally last week. Now Trump's up 2 nationally. I know it's Rasmussen, but I think Trump's going to pull this victory out because of the fact that Joe Biden is a deadbeat candidate. Yesterday, Kamala Harris, she's out talking to people in front of a polling line. The people are lined up. They showed it on Twitter. And she's giving a speech in front of a polling station with people lined up. Does that smack of desperation or what? I got any.
No, I think that Joe Biden is trying to keep people safe, and I was just trying to look up the USA Today article about super spreader events because here it is. I think I found it. You ready for this?
Sure.
All right, here we go. So the headline in USA Today is Trump's campaign made stops nationwide. Coronavirus cases surged in his wake in at least 5 places. I'll just read the first 2 lines. As President Trump jetted across the country holding campaign rallies during the past 2 months, he didn't just defy state orders and federal health guidelines. He left a trail of coronavirus outbreaks in his wake. The president has participated in nearly 3 dozen rallies since mid-August, all but 2 at airport hangars. USA Today analysis shows COVID cases grew at a faster rate than before, at least at 5 of those rally locations in the following counties: Blue Earth, Minnesota; Lackawanna, Pennsylvania; Marathon, Wisconsin; Dauphin, Pennsylvania; and Beltrami, Minnesota. So, you know, the people that argue against these big rallies that President Trump is holding say, look, these are super spreader events, and you're just endangering your own followers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, sure. Do we know for sure that those came from Trump rallies, or is that just the fake news spreading propaganda?
Well, you know, I think in all honesty, we don't know that they came from the Trump rallies, but there is at least a connection between holding rallies and then seeing super spreader events. And these are not big cities. Lackawanna, Pennsylvania is not a big city. Blue Earth, Minnesota is not a big city.
Sure, I agree. It's also predictable, isn't it?
Well, Chuck, I mean, isn't it better that your candidate wouldn't he be better off trying to keep people safe? Because let's just say right now we've got about 225,000 deaths in the U.S. because of COVID. If President Trump's base includes people over 65 who happen to be white, and those are his key people, and he's waiting for them to come out on Election Day. If the numbers get worse between now and Election Day, will those people, will that 70-year-old person in you know, wherever, pick your state, North Carolina or Pennsylvania or Minnesota, will they go out to the polls on election day if they feel unsafe, knowing that right now it's too late to get a mail-in ballot, so they can't change their mind? If they're waiting for election day, they got to go on election day, and it may be unsafe on November 3rd. So wouldn't the president be better off if he said, look, wear a mask. You know, this thing is serious. Don't come to my rallies without a mask. I want to protect you all. Wouldn't that be a better play by the president?
Well, yeah, and I'll leave it at this. I watched every rally he had, and everybody, most people had masks on. Number two, Donald Trump's out there fighting for the American people. These are my words. Joe Biden is a scumbag, he's a crook, and he's a deadbeat. And take it to the bank, Trump's winning this next election. And I appreciate you letting me have my time.
All right, Chuck, thanks a lot. All right, what do you think? Do you think that Chuck is right? Do you think that most people at Trump rallies are wearing masks? I watched, I couldn't say that I watched all the rallies. But I watched some of them over the weekend, and most of the time, every time I turned on a Trump rally and they showed the people's faces, I'd say 90% of people were not wearing masks. So what do you think about what Chuck said? You can answer by calling 813-239-9663. Also, our email address is dj@wmnf.org. So I'm looking through these emails to see if I can find one that's written in a way that we all can understand. Let's see here if I can find a good email. There's a bunch of emails that have come in. Charles in Tampa says, Democrats should be using the lock up my opponent's sound bites along with 45s being accurate by accident when he said herd mentality. Charles in Tampa. I'm not sure. Does that make sense to you? Charles, thank you for that. Let's go to Bob in Port Richey. Bob, thanks for calling. What would you like to say?
Hey, thanks for letting me in just before I go on an appointment. I'm in everyone's home 5 days a week, 4 days a week. And in my business, I have to go into their home and do measuring and all that stuff and show them samples. And I'm in basically 90% of my clientele is over 70. And I'm over 65. And no one is wearing masks. No one wants me or any of my installers to wear masks. I might have had one lady one time ask about it, but she put a hole in her mask so she could smoke her cigarette through it while she still had the mask. I mean, I'm not kidding.
What's your company policy?
I'm the owner of the company. I say you don't have to wear. I don't believe that that's going to stop anything. And all of my customers don't either, and most of them all voted already, or they're going on voting day. They're not afraid.
Yeah, they're not afraid. So, Bob, did you consult with attorneys before you decided your policy? Did you talk with any attorneys?
No, they've let us in.
Yeah, no, I understand.
To let us in, you know.
Bob, what if, let's say that one of your workers, you know, their child goes to school, picks up COVID, gives it to the dad, and the dad takes it in. Do you have a carpet company, or what kind of company do you have?
No, I'd rather sit and not stay.
Okay, that's okay.
I don't want to stay.
So, but what if the dad, you know, goes into grandma's house, or, you know, some elderly person's house, rather?
I don't know how to say this here. Life is life. We roll the dice. There's people lined up in Walmart. There's pieces of plexiglass in between me and Home Depot when I bought something yesterday. The girl was on one side of the glass. She took my card. She went on the other side of the glass. Then we had trouble with the reader. She had to come back on my side of the glass. This is just the vapors from their breath go everywhere, and that mask does nothing to stop it. They already proved that. It goes around. You'd have to have like some kind of a suit that goes underwater or something.
But I don't think I do think that masks provide protection, and I can't pull up the study right now. But you're five times more likely to get COVID without a mask than you are with a mask.
I don't believe that.
I don't have the study in front of me, but I will try to pull it up before the end of the show.
I don't think there's any proof to that at all. I think that's just.
And you don't think you're endangering your customers?
No, I'm not.
Okay.
They could be endangering me.
Well, that's true,
they
too.
They have it, too. A lot of people have it, don't even know they have it.
Okay, Bob.
It's a flu bug.
All right. It's a flu bug. There we go. All right, Bob, thanks a lot. Bob, thank you. It's great to hear from you. I think we get know exactly where you're coming from. Thank you. 813-239-9663. Let's go to Brad in St. Petersburg. Brad, thanks for calling. What would you like to say?
Hey, good morning, Rob. I wanted to respond to, I think his name was Chuck, the not your last caller, but the one beforehand.
Mm-hmm.
Right off the bat, I was a very dedicated Sanders supporter for 16 in this past election. And I agree with what Chuck said for one thing as far as Biden and the lack of enthusiasm. As a Sanders supporter, I vividly remember him saying during the campaign, if you're going to run a campaign solely on just beating Trump, you're not going to win. What does Biden say to all the people that knocked on doors in Iowa? All the Latinos in Nevada that voted for him in the primary. I see the Biden campaign from time to time separating themselves from progressives. I beat the socialist. I don't know. It's just, I don't see the enthusiasm with the Biden campaign like I did with Bernie. And maybe I'm saying that too biased, but I'm trying to be very, very objective in my analysis, Rob, and I don't know if you or other callers will agree with or disagree with me, but that's my stance, and I don't know what else to say. It's just,
okay.
I don't see the enthusiasm. That's all I can say, Rob.
All right, Brad, thanks a lot. Thank you. Good to hear from you, and if you're enthusiastic for a candidate, no matter who that is, you can call us up at 813-239-9663. Kay Wright says, Joe Biden is doing a great job, so is Kamala. Now, Trump still has not produced a health care plan, not since 2016 when he was elected. I did not vote for him then and not now, but with all his rallies, you do have to ask who's running the country right now. Can we remind some callers, I won't mention names, that the Mueller report and impeachment were not hoaxes? Tell Chuck he should not call names. Yeah, Chuck did call names, and I'm sorry I didn't stop him. Thank you for that, Kay. 813-239-9663. President Trump did hand Leslie Stahl, or his staff did, his health care plan. But it's interesting, it wasn't really a plan. It was ideas in Congress, and it was orders from the president, not orders that have no power of law. So the president still has not told us what his health care plan is. Remember, the president promised that he would provide a new health care plan that was better than the Affordable Care Act, that would cost less to the public, that the deductibles wouldn't be so high, the premiums would be less, and everybody would be covered. Now, that's what he promised. His attorney general is in court, and so are many Republican attorneys general trying to overturn the Affordable Care Act in the U.S. Supreme Court. Looks like they're going to get their wish because the Supreme Court is going to be heavily favorite of Republicans. Let's go back to the phones, and we're going to go to Danny in Tampa. Danny, what would you like to say?
Yes, good morning, Rob. First of all, Chuck is showing projection again. That's just projection, because Trump is the criminal. Trump is the scumbag. Trump is the crook. And with the, as far as masks, I was watching now. He's got a rally, one of three today. What they do is they put all the people with masks behind him, so that that way it looks like they all have masks. But when you see the front, the people from the front, the cameras go to the front, most of them don't have masks.
Yeah, that's probably what Chuck was talking about. He saw the back of the rally, but if you look at the people on the ground, the 1,000 or 2,000 people on the ground, they're not wearing masks. Good point. Good point.
Yeah, and by the way, Rob, I know you're a Rays fan, but the Dodgers they just have too much rumble for
them. Oh, man, that hurts. All right, Danny, thanks a lot.
Thank you.
All right, good to hear from you. 813-239-9663. Let's go to Fran in Largo. Fran, what would you like to say?
Oh, I haven't given up on the race yet, but that's not why I called. No, the subject of wearing masks, I caught a little bit of a story on the news this morning about Disney and Universal. I think Orange County is sending in, well, I can't call them anything else but undercover people, to check and make sure people have masks on and they're social distancing in these places. These are like Disney. That's a big corporate. That's a corporation, really. That's all you can call Disney, besides being a theme park. But it just shows that some corporations, they're like countries unto themselves, I think. And they know better than to let a bunch of people in wild and crazy. And I haven't really heard of anything being spread from going to a Disney theme park. Have you?
No. Are you saying, have things been spread at Disney's theme parks?
Well,
no, I haven't heard about that.
They could be giant super spreaders if allowed to be, but they're not, right? So it just goes to show social distancing and wearing masks makes a lot of sense. That's just one case that can be laid out. And nobody is saying anything otherwise about Disney. They've always been... I heard they were a big Republican, made big contributions to the Republican Party in the past. So, I mean, and Ron DeSantis isn't letting out a peep about them. So, I mean, it's just, it's so two-sided, you know, where there's the money and everything. The money rules, really.
Okay, Fran, thanks a lot.
Okay.
You know, I think one of the concerns that's holding up the bailout bill in Washington is whether or not companies are going to be protected if their employees spread COVID to customers. You know, we had the caller from the guy who sounded like he worked for a carpet business or some sort of home installment business. But, you know, many companies are worried that people will pick up COVID on their property or that their employees will spread COVID to customers. So, pay attention to that. That's certainly something the big business is worried about, and they don't want to be held responsible if their employees spread COVID. So I was kind of surprised that our local caller said that he had not consulted an attorney, before allowing his workers to go into people's homes not wearing masks. Let's take some more phone calls. Let's go to Deborah in Lutz. Deborah, thanks for calling. What would you like to say?
Hey, Rob. Okay, so these callers that are calling in about Joe Biden, saying he's not exciting enough, he's boring, and whatever, I'm summarizing. Here's the deal. We're voting for Joe because he's not the bombastic, name-calling, twittering, reality star guy that Trump is. We want a guy that embodies honesty, safety, and integrity. And what I would say to people if they're on the fence about Joe Biden is to look at the team the man will bring in, starting with his wife, Dr. Jill Biden, not a porn star or a stripper or any of this kind of stuff, Dr. Jill Biden. And the team that he will be bringing in is likely to have a few of the folks that were on the debate stage with him during the primaries. Maybe Liz Warren, maybe Cory Booker, maybe Pete Buttigieg, maybe Elizabeth. He's going to be bringing in a very strong team to come in, and the first job he's got to do is recovering the White House from the damage that's been done, and talking to the American people honestly about COVID. And, you know, we're looking forward to a president that's not going to be sending out 40 tweets an hour in the middle of the night. So if that makes them sound boring to some people, that's fine. That's exactly what we're looking for, is somebody that is sane and rational and calm.
All right.
Anyway,
Deborah, thank you. Thank you. Good to hear from you. And, I wish we had more time. Apparently we don't. John Lutz writes, Trump must be tried for Herder murder. That's John's email. And then... Well, Debbie writes, some of my older friends are being snubbed by businesses in Plant City for wearing a mask, writes Debbie. If you want to comment about today's show, please call us at 813-238-8001 and record your comment on extension 115. I'll play your comments back tomorrow morning at 11 o'clock. These weeks are going to get very interesting, so be sure to be here every day and listen to 88.5 FM, especially during the Public Affairs Show. Thanks to Frank Knox.